Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, everybody. It's time for our annual audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It helps us understand our audience better, know what you like and don't like, how you listen to the show. It also helps us tell advertisers what kind of people listen. But I promise you, your feedback is always kept personally anonymous. All you have to do is visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It'll just take a few minutes and it'll help us make TWiT even better. We really appreciate your support and any help you can give us. twit.tv/survey.
This is TWiT Live Special number 271, recorded February 16th, 2016. Developer Week, San Francisco. This TWiT Live Special is brought to you by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep your IT skills up to date with engaging and informative video tutorials. For a free 7-day trial and 30% off the life of your account, go to itpro.tv/twit and use the code TWIT30. Where does inspiration come from? For some people, it's a late-night coding. For other people, it's some sort of think tank. And still others come to places like this. This is Developer Week in San Francisco. It's a celebration of the people who like to build, who like to make, who like to create. We are surrounded by those who are making machines that will detect everything from pollution and water to your heartbeat from a camera. We're here with providers of services so that your latest app, your latest server has a place to live. And of course, we've got the weirdest of the weird who are trying to bring the next generation of technology down to earth. I'm Father Robert Ballester, and over the next hour or so, I'm going to show you some of the best from Developer Week 2016. The Internet of Things holds much promise in this world of connected devices, but the question has always been, what happens with security, especially if you're going to be doing the Internet of Industrial Things? That's why I'm speaking with Lothar from GE Digital, who's going to explain why their solution Predicts might be the way that you connect to your Internet of Things. Lothar, what is this?
Hi, Robert. What you see here is like a compressor, like a small version of an industrial-sized big compressor, which is used in the oil industry for oil exploration, for example. Those compressors are equipped with tons of sensors as well and actuators, so you can actually manipulate and optimize oil exploration via software platforms such as Predicts.
There are devices like this out there right now. Typically, it's SCADA, Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Devices, especially in the oil and energy business. They've come under attack. There's been story after story of how they're just not suitable for use on the Internet. What makes this different?
Yeah, so, I mean, they're like industry control systems and SCADA systems and PCLs, etc., and they continue to exist, right? They became increasingly software-defined, right? They used to be very much hardware devices. They became appliances. They are typically used for real-time control in industrial space, and they continue to have their role in place, right? If you work on an oil rig, for example, if you work in a subsea operations, you need to have real-time control in a secure way. What you want to use is a platform, however, to start optimizing those processes. Think about there's not just one oil exploration, but there's hundreds of thousands around the world. You attract data, you discover patterns, you build digital twins of oil extraction. Then you can take that information to download and optimize essential patterns, how to run those oil platforms. It helps you to reduce unplanned downtime or to drive efficiency out of energy generation, for example.
All right, let's get real here. We've got DevOps in our audience. If they've got an application that they're trying to build, they come to you. What can you do for them? What kind of solution can you give them? What do you do that makes their job easier?
Yeah. I mean, DevOps certainly is a hot topic, and the whole notion of continuous integration, continuous delivery is really important, right? So what we have done here with Predicts, we actually brought the power of DevOps, if you want, of rapid application development and delivery to the industrial world. That's really the first time that this is happening. We built a platform based on Cloud Foundry. Cloud Foundry is an open source platform as a service, which very much built with DevOps in mind. It's a microservices-based architecture. It really frees the developer from all the clutter to provisioning infrastructures so they can focus on what they do best, which which is the coding. What we did specifically, we brought it to the industrial world. So we built a platform predicts around Cloud Foundry, which is optimized for the industrial world.
Lothar, I got to ask, there are other companies that want to be in this space. What are the things that you do that are different, that are better?
Predix is built for the industrial way. And three things in particular we're looking at here. One is machine connectivity and edge processing as well. We run in the cloud, but you need to be able to run on the edge as well, close where the action is, right? You need to run processing analytics directly there because you might not always have connectivity on an oil field, for example. That's number one. Secondly, it's a kind of analytics that we put in there where we allow to build digital twins, essentially, digital copies of industrial assets. You have the master data management, the analytics processing in the cloud. And the third one is around security and compliance. Predix was built with security in mind because, well, you want to run a grid in a highly secure environment.
Now, Lothar, if they wanted to find out more about Predix, more about GE Digital, more about what your solution can do for their next project, where should they go?
That thing is you'll go to predix.io and you can create your free trial account right on the website.
Thank you. Thank you very much for speaking with us. Thank you for showing off your technology. And I predicts you'll be using GE Digital. So you want to be a coder, but you don't know where to start. Well, you could go to a boot camp. You could spend hours reading books, or you could just be a gamer. I'm here with Frederic from Code Gamer, who's going to explain why the next big thing in coding is playing games. What is CodeGamer?
CodeGamer is a platform where coders can practice their skills by trying to solve the coolest problems of the world by playing games. So it's not about algorithms, it's about creativity, strategy, and have fun while coding.
We have seen this concept used fabulously last year with the Hour of Code and their cross promotion with Star Wars. It introduced a new generation of young people to what it means to code, what it means to use modules, what it means to think through logical problems. How do you do it? What is your method for using games to teach coding?
Actually, we are going one step further. You know, you have tools to learn to code, the fundamentals, and here we are to make it, awesome things through the code. So the thing is, we gamify coding. It's not about a terminal with a console with ASCII characters. It's about, you know, like seeing games like this and playing a game. It's a kind of a new family of game, totally.
Let me ask you, there's a lot of people out there who have maybe picked up an IDE, maybe played with a little bit of code, but then they hit the wall. They hit the hump. They're not sure where to go next. They're not sure what to do next. What do you think, or what have you found to be the most difficult thing about picking up coding?
I think you have to, the most difficult thing is about keeping your IDE clear. And, you know, from a top-down approach, and you have a problem, and you try to find a solution, and you have to learn a language and practice this language to solve the problem. So this is the main problem to learn to code. It's to have the logic behind the scene. So we try through coding game to help people to find this logic and to apply them through the code.
Frederic, this is fantastic. I love this idea. This is actually something that we promoted on our network, the idea of learning the logic tree before you try to pick up a language. Now, if they wanted to find out more about CodeGame, more about what you do, more about how you could teach them, where can they go?
Oh, they should go on the website and try it from the beginning, from the, you know, the fundamentals to learn how we can code through coding game. Because like I said, it's not language dependent. We're not programming language dependent. The thing is important is to understand what is the problem and how I can solve it. And next, you can go through the games and try to practice machine learning, practice artificial intelligence, and all the hot topics that make sense in your life to code every day and to find the greatest jobs in the world through coding game.
Frederic, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing this. I hope people will check it out. This is Coding Game. I'm Father Robert, and if you want to code, game on. Hey, developers. At some point, you're going to need a place to put your brand new creation. Now, you could bring out your own infrastructure, but that's just a waste of time because we've got Equinix. Now, I'm here with Venkat, who's going to explain how Equinix has open sourced their frameworks for the people who want to develop their private infrastructure. Venkat, why did you release your frameworks?
As part of, I'm from Equinix. As part of Equinix, we are one of the biggest platform in this is Equinix Cloud Exchange. We try to slice and dice our platform into multiple microservices where we can rapidly roll out our functionalities and also like time to market. That's our goal. And when we move to microservice-based architectures, we learn a lot together over a 1.5 years period of time. And we put together everything as a collective frameworks for a Node.js developers where they can only focus on a business logics. It provides an end-to-end software infrastructure for the developers in a Node.js-based environments. And it provides a microservice-based architectures. We can define a contract, API contract-first approach, define the end-to-end contract. It generates an end-to-end code, except business logics.
It used to be as you were developing a solution, you needed to couple it to hardware. Well, that's all been decoupled. Now you have the hardware separate from the software, and everything is containerized or virtualized. How have you seen that change? What do customers demand now that containers and virtual machines have become the norm?
Because now the container became a mainstream, at least in the Valley. Most of the enterprises, they started using containers. And which the one biggest advantage what I see from container is there is no vendor locking. You can deploy the same thing for any service providers as long as it's in the same rapid environments. But for example, like if you do it in on-prem, go for it. If you want it in a cloud service-based environment, just deploy the same container in AWS or in Azure. You can just run it. That's it.
Let's talk about that, because we're at an interesting point in the development of infrastructure, because we've got Azure, we've got AWS, Google's trying to get into the game. How do people navigate that? I mean, how do people choose what solution, what infrastructure they're going to use, or is that now obsolete? Can I now build once and deploy many times?
Yes, that's what our Aqua.js also do. Our primary motivation is when we went with Node.js-based development frameworks, we want to make sure that if you go for a community, you can build once and deploy for any providers. And it enables for a enterprise to have a flexibility, and for a developers, no need to worry about how my software works when I move to a different environment. And Aqua.js stitched together everything so nicely. It provides an infrastructure, and with the software infrastructure, especially with the Docker containerized, you can take it and just move on. You deploy in a dev environment, or you deploy in a production in a different, altogether a brand new service providers. It still works.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. Now, if they want to find out more about your company, about what you do, about what products and services you offer, where can they go?
You can go to aquajsio.com. which have more information about our frameworks and how do you get benefited out of it. And also you can go to equinix.com to understand more about our business model. And we are open sourcing Aqua.js. We are proud to be on this conference.
Thank you. Thank you very much for speaking with us. Thank you for sharing the solution with our audience, who I'm sure is going to be looking into a potential way that you could help them shorten their development cycle. If you are a developer, if you're looking for a home for your next big project, your next big app or service, you could get Equal with a data center, or you could get Equinix. The motto at Developer Week is go build something. And build something they definitely have in this. Now, this wonderful little device is a great way for you to find out what's lurking in your industrial water. I'm here at Ondavia with Merwan, who's going to explain how they've come up with the technology to detect chemical compounds in your H2O. Merwan, what is this?
So that's that's a cartridge. You answer to your sample in the low window here, and then you put it inside our spectrometer, and in a matter of seconds, you can know precisely a trace level in a few minutes what's in your water.
Okay, we can't leave that alone. Our audience is very technical. They're very geeky. Explain to me, how does that work? So you're using the laser to excite the water molecules, and then what does this do? I know that it looks like there's a little bit of silicon in the back of these cartridges. How does this process work?
So we use microfluidics to embed nanoparticles, and we use what's called surface-enhanced Raman spectroscopy to enhance the Raman signals collected, and we can get to trace levels, so parts per billion, parts per million of the analyte within your water sample. We work with different kinds of water, wastewater, processed water. We can check for corrosion, heavy metals, a lot of anything, pretty much anything in any fluid.
Now, the wonderful thing about this is I have seen spectroscopy sets that are huge. I mean, the size of vans that you need in order to get an accurate measurement. And I've also seen handheld kits that are small, but they don't really give you a precise count of what kind of particulate you might find. How did you get it into a unit so small? I mean, this weighs less than 10 pounds. It can fit inside of a backpack. What was the breakthrough in technology that allowed you to make this?
So telecom has actually helped a lot in miniaturizing lasers, spectrometers, and then the technologies and the cartridge, we are able to, with a lower size laser, excite our water in a way that enough signal comes out that we can pick up the analyte of interest.
Marwan, I got to ask, who do you see as being your customer? Who is going to see this device and say, we definitely need one of those in our inventory?
Large companies, a lot of large companies such as GE or any analytical labs, as well as process engineers. So we work with folks in the energy sector. We're looking into pharmaceuticals. Anywhere, water is everywhere. Water is really everywhere in any industry. So we are open for anyone who wants to know what's in his water. So,
okay, I think this definitely gets the geek award of the show for me. If they want to find out more about Ondavia, if they want to find out more about your technology, if they want to find out more about how it works, where can they go?
Ondavia.com.
Thank you very much for sharing your technology. Thank you for showing us what lasers can do. I'm Father Robert, and Ondavia, agua da vida. Surrounded by the latest and greatest in emerging tech, it can be a little daunting to think about how you enter into this industry, which is why we're happy to have IT Pro TV as a sponsor of this Twit Live special. Now, IT Pro TV is possibly the best way for you to get into IT. Or, if you are already in IT, it's one of the best ways to keep your skills current. IT Pro TV's mission is to educate you through engagement with up-to-date video content and access to quality tools that prepare you for certification. Now, they offer you streamed, live, and on-demand worldwide content to your Chromecast, your Roku, your PC, or your mobile device. They've got courses that range from A+, CCNA, MCSA, Ethical Hacking, AWS, Virtualization, plus desktop and server support for OS X, Windows, and Linux. They've got over 1,000 hours of content, with 50 hours of new content being added each week, so there will always be something fresh, something new, something to challenge your mind. Their latest courses include Cisco ASA Express Security with Tom Lamley, and they include 100-plus step-by-step virtual machine labs and Transcender practice exams, which is a $109 value. They offer one low monthly subscription that gives you access to all their content, to their community, and most of all, to their live streams, which, well, it gives you a bit of Twit TV, but for IT. They have also got corporate and group pricing available, so you've got no excuse not to try IT Pro TV today. Oh, if you are interested in IT, if you're interested in finding out how it all works, or if you're just interested in maintaining your skill set, I implore you to try IT Pro TV. Right now, you can try IT Pro TV at itpro.tv/twit to upgrade your brain with the most popular IT certifications. And you can try it free for 7 days when you sign up using our code TWIT30 to check out their courses, live stream, and more. You'll also receive 30% off for the lifetime of your account. That's less than $40 per month, or $399 for the entire year. Again, that's itpro.tv/twit, itpro.tv/twit. And use the code TWIT30 to try it free for 7 days and save 30%. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of this Twit Live special. One of the buzzwords of 2015 was wearables. Everybody had a wearable. And why not? It's great technology that allows you to get data points about your health, about your respiration, about your heart rate, about your body temperature. But a Fitbit can be a little cumbersome. An Apple Watch can be a little bit expensive. And all of that tech doesn't work unless you've actually got it on your body. So what about a wearable that you don't have to wear? I'm here taking a look at the Cocoon with Ruby, who's going to explain why the next thing in health doesn't need to be on your body at all. Ruby, what is this?
Hey, so this is Cocoon Cam. It's the first smart video baby monitor to detect your baby's heart rate, respiration, and skin temperature without ever touching your baby.
Okay, now how does that actually work? Because all of the health products that I've seen, you have to wear on your wrist or in your hand, or I've even seen a couple that go on your head. How do you measure all those things, have all those metrics without physical contact?
Yep. So if you look at Facebook, for example, when you upload a picture and you see that it knows that it's you, that's called computer vision. So what we do is we use computer vision to detect heart rate and respiration, and then we use a little infrared sensor to determine your skin temperature. So it's completely non-invasive, which was our goal here, so that it would not have to admit anything on your baby or your significant other.
This is the kind of technology that I could really see being the future, because you've got a single product right now, and this is a very interesting prototype. But if you were to deploy this around your house or around your office and combine this with tracking software, you now have the ability to do real-time status updates on people's health as they move throughout the day. And you don't just get a snapshot of what they're doing. You get to see a long-term view of how their health progresses through the day. Tell me, what gave you the idea of making the Cocoon Cam?
Yeah, so my co-founder Siva had his daughter Lena, and he purchased a video camera, but he couldn't tell that she was okay when she was sleeping. And he also realized he didn't want to put any electronics on his babies. And so we decided to build something completely non-invasive that would detect these vitals. But my background's actually in healthcare, so I completely get what you're saying. Everything's moving from brick and mortar to the home. People are using phones as medical devices. And so here's a device that you can use in the future for your whole family, and it will be able to detect everything from when your wife gets pregnant to end-of-life geriatric care.
Okay, this is cool technology, but I got to ask, what's the end game for you? Where do you want to see this in the next year, the next 2 years, the next 5 years? Coming back to Developer Week in 2017, where would you like to see the Cocoon Cam progress?
So we actually want Cocoon Cam to be in every single person's home. Again, it's a completely non-invasive solution, which is really great. It doesn't require you to wear any wearables. It just handles the data for all of your family. Now, what we realized is that our innovation is actually in the software, so we can use almost any off-the-shelf camera, which makes it a lot more accessible for anybody that owns a camera. So in the future, we hope to build a platform so that we can be the brain behind all of those cameras, and everyone will have access to it in their home.
That's very, very cool. Now, if our audience wanted to find out more about your technology, more about the camera, more about where you are in the development, where can they go?
So they go to www.cocooncam.com. That's C-O-C-O-O-N-C-A-M.com. And they can reach out to me at ruby@cocooncam.com, R-U-B-I.
Ruby, thank you very much for speaking with us. Thank you very much for sharing your vision of the non-wearable, wearable technology. And folks, the future of health is in a cocoon. Now, of course, I couldn't leave the show unless we stopped by DJI. Now, you may be wondering what DJI is doing at a developers conference. Well, that's because they've got this. This is their new Matrix, and it is a quadcopter specifically designed for people who want to develop aerial applications. What makes this different than, say, their Phantom or their Inspire? It's that it's a platform-capable box. The idea is they've got this new SDK, a software development kit that allows you to develop software specifically for applications of aerial rescue and aerial surveillance. There are a few things about this craft. First of all, it's 2.5 kilograms with a grand total weight of 3.5 kilograms, which means it can carry 1 kilogram of cargo, not including the two batteries. It also has the ability to use these sensors, both ultrasonic and optical, on five sides. That's four sides plus the bottom, so you can give it auto-guiding capabilities. It can figure out what's in front of it, what's below it, what's to the left and what's to the right, so that in addition to being an aerial photography platform, it has the smarts to avoid obstacles in its path. Now, you may wonder why DJI has this. After all, their Phantom and their Inspire are award-winning. They're selling like hotcakes. Their idea is that they don't know where the next application is going to be. Where will the value be found in quadcopters and multirotors? And that's why they've made this platform. Now, not only that, but they've issued a challenge. They will offer $100,000 to anyone who can develop the software using their SDK that will allow them to take off and land on a car, either static or moving, so that you can do things like disaster reconnaissance and recovery. Now, if you are a developer who likes to take to the air, if you are a coder who wants to try something a little new, maybe you need to check out the DJI Matrix. This is the Matrix, and it's coding on the rise. The Internet of Things and data analytics allow us to take a huge sampling of metrics, of data points, of individual pieces of information that allow us to find out what a device is doing, what a person is doing. But can all that intelligence tell you what that person is about to do? That's what they're trying to do here at Noura. I'm speaking with Peter, who's going to explain what contextual analysis can do for you. Peter, this sounds a little bit like voodoo. It's a crystal ball. Tell me, how do I know what a device or a person is about to do based on the information I'm already logging?
So what Noura does is we provide an SDK, and it does two things. One is it identifies what physical activity user is doing, and then predicting what physical activity user is about to do. The way we do that is we pull information, all the data sources from the user's smartphone, fitness trackers, this and that. We gather all that data, we run it through our algorithms, and then we generate events. And we can identify, for instance, we can say that you're sleeping, you're at home, and we estimate you're going to be waking up at 7:15 a.m. We can say that you're driving, and you're not driving to drop the kids off at school. You're driving with the intent of going to work, and you're going to be estimated to arrive there at, say, 8:32 a.m. And then the interesting one is in regards to working out. Right, a workout for one person might be going to a yoga studio. It might be, for instance, going to the gym, or it might be going for a run. All this mean the same thing for the user. And what we do is we basically decipher this meaning. We create the semantic meaning around this activity to enrich your products and services so they can better serve the user.
This is huge because this, for me, this is the next logical step in big data. I mean, big data can give us a lot of interesting correlations between events, between things that are happening. But to have a device or a service that's smart enough to know the difference between me walking for exercise, walking to work, or driving to work, driving to a friend's house, and then be able to trigger certain actions based on what it thinks I'm going to do, that's new. That's different. Now, tell me, in building a service like this, what are the biggest challenges? What did you have to overcome to make the service accurate?
Before I get into that, let me answer a couple interesting use cases. You take a music player, for instance, right? Music player knows all the thousands of songs you like. What it doesn't know is what is it that you're doing at that moment, you know? If it knew that, okay, you're on the way to the gym or you're working out or you're at a coffee shop, based on that semantic meaning, it can basically tailor a playlist that's custom tailored towards you. Or a thermostat. If a thermostat knew that, okay, you're about to go to sleep or about to wake up, it can adjust accordingly without you having to set a trigger, set a schedule, set an alarm of any sort. It does this all dynamically. The biggest challenge has been we spent about 2.5 years, we've had over a dozen engineers working on perfecting these algorithms to getting to the point that you have 80, 90% accuracy. Because the reality is if you provide something that's 15%, there really isn't any value for that. It's once you get at these thresholds where it becomes interesting, where you can do it with a high level of certainty and low latency. So that's kind of what we spent the last 2+ years working on. And we just released the SDK in January, and now we're actively looking for integrations and getting it out to the market.
For our audience members who are actually developers or maybe work in DevOps, if they were to check out your SDK, what could they do? I mean, what would you enable them to build?
So what's interesting is the scope of the projects that we can go after are wide and broad. We have about 60 different APIs that we offer, things that have to do with smart home, things that have to do with health and wellness. We're working with apps in regards to diabetes. So you can track that, say, for instance, what your glucose levels are over time based on your physical activity. Did you have a rough night's sleep? Did you, just finish working out? All this have meaning. One of the other use cases in automotive space, the experience does not start when you enter and exit the car. It starts before you even get to the car and when you exit that car. For instance, if I'm coming from the grocery store towards my car or I just finished a run, they mean fundamentally different things. So it's depending on which application they're trying to target, identifying which API is the most relevant to them, and then figuring out what use case can provide the most value back to the user.
Peter, this is fantastic technology. Now, if they wanted to find out more about the SDK, more about where they can sign up, where can they go?
The website's thenoura.com. You can also send us an email at build@thenoura.com, and we can definitely get back to you with the documentation, presentation material, and get people up and running. The SDK is online. It's available in both iOS and Android.
Folks, there you have it. This is the future of the Internet of Things. I would tell you to go to Noura, but Noura already knows you're going to do that. You are a brilliant programmer. You eat, drink, and sleep code. You know exactly how every logic tree is going to lay down before it even touches paper. But do you know how to turn that into a good app? Maybe not, which is why we're here at Applause. I'm standing next to Curtis, who's going to explain what Applause can do for people who want to develop a killer app. Curtis, we here at Developers Week, we know that there are people with the skills. They understand how to code. They understand how to program. But that doesn't always necessarily mean they know how to make an app that people will want. What does Applause do to help them?
Well, we kind of help bridge that gap between incredibly intelligent people with brilliant ideas and the people they want to be using it. So because in today's market, there's so much competition, there's so much speed, there's so much time to market, and the rules are now changing. Just even now, we're now looking at a shrinking of the investment model, and people are now looking not just at downloads, not just at like page views, they're now looking at engagement. Like, how long do your customers go? Who are your customers? How long are they on your app? What are they using it for? Is that interesting? Is that new? To that end, a lot of people have neither the time nor the passion to answer those questions because they're solving the problems of the technology. They're solving the problems of the pain. They're solving the problems that they know people want, but you have to get them to know they want it. And that's where Applause comes in. So a lot of people call us an outsourcing company, but I don't like that term. Because it's come to mean in the current parlance, sort of a body shop where you have a bunch of test cases, you throw it over a wall, people run them, it gets back, and that's useful if you have those test cases, if you have the time it takes to ramp something up. We here at Applause have technical experts that don't need all that time. They can just sort of jump in and look at your app and say, where are the parts we need to be testing on this? What is going to make your customers happy? First off, does it break? Does it do what you think it's going to be doing under all conditions? We'll do that. Then we also look at it and say, now where do you need to have help with? Whether it's you're trying to go from a standard deployment model to continuous deployment, we can help you do that with automation, with rapid manual testing. Do you actually understand your market as well as you think you do? Because sometimes you know you hand it out to your best friends and they all love the app. Maybe everybody out of your side of your friends may not like it.
So we'll help you out.
This has always been a problem with developers, which is they see the technical side. And maybe the app is technically excellent, but it doesn't quite have the gravitas. It doesn't have the UI. It doesn't have the real-world experience for them to actually know where they need to develop, where they need to be spending resources. Now,
I would also expand on that and say they may know their specific market and their friends and their family, but do they know the whole market? The people who aren't just like them, the people who are not their friends and family. And that's where they can get some help with us, not just from the standpoint of a typical user experience study, but from our testers themselves, being all over the world with all different backgrounds.
Let's throw out some common knowledge here. For those people who are just getting into app development, what would you say is the biggest, most common problem that you run into? As you help these developers bring something to market, what's the biggest stumbling block?
I would say, number one, the primary thing they look at is scalability. So you have a great idea. It works for a certain group. How do you then take that and make it larger? How do you do that cost effectively? Everybody knows that once you get past that initial point where you've proven the app works, how do you make sure that it's bulletproof, it's going to work well, and that it's going to work for a variety of different markets and terms and businesses? Most people can't make that jump when they do that, because they're using their old process, their old standards. They have a core team, but that's not their skill set. So they look to other people to bring that in. Maybe not a partner, maybe somebody who's like selling them stuff. We're at Applause, we help you get over that part. I think the second thing we sort of help people with is understanding delight. I think we talked about that before, just now. So you have to understand what your customer base is going to want to do and engage in a long term with you. And what's going to get them to not just download the app and install it, but keep using it over the period of, months, years, whatever. So, yeah.
Curtis, this is all very good. I mean, for anyone who's just getting into this, this is information they absolutely need to know. But if they wanted to find out more about Applause, what Applause could do for them, where can they go online to find out about your services, to find out about how you could shepherd them through the process?
Well, we have the website, applause.com. We also have a site where it's sort of loosely affiliated with us, where we do white papers called ArcSoft. And if you're looking for getting involved with us and maybe expanding your skill set, because maybe you're working at a place where you're building out, say, mobile apps, but you want to get into, like, say, smart cars or the Internet of Things, wearable devices, you can go look at utest.com. And that's our sort of community of testers of over 150,000 people around the world who are experienced testers getting together to talk about testing. And that's the people we sort of pull from to say, hey, do you want to make some extra money and learn about doing this stuff? So you get to learn and make money, and you know you're doing well because you make more money. So those are the three things you can go to find out more about us.
Peter, thank you very much for sharing your service, for sharing your vision for applications. Now, if you are headed to the big stage of app development, settle for nothing less than a round of applause. There's no doubt that 3D printing was one of the biggest technologies of 2015. It's just fantastic to be able to take an object, a real-world object, and turn it into its digital equivalent. But the question has always been, what do you do once you have that 3D model? Sure, you could print it on your home printer, or maybe send it off to a professional establishment to get something of higher quality. But there's a company here at Developer Week that has a different idea, and that company is SoundFit. I'm here with Scott, who's going to explain why SoundFit and the Sugar Cube is going to change what you do with your 3D models. Scott, what is the Sugar Cube?
So the Sugar Cube is a point-of-sale 3D scanner. It's designed right now to scan ear impressions that we take of your ear to be able to make custom-fit earpieces that, you know, for your Bluetooth or music or hearing protection or tactical communications if you're a police, fire, or military. All these kinds of products that you put in your ear, we can make them better. We can make them fit just by going and making them custom fit. And we start by capturing your ear geometry where you are at a store, at a point of sale location, sending them into the cloud where we turn them into the models that you talked about that have the right ear canal and everything. And then we send them to a 3D printer that's located at or near the store so that you can walk out in about an hour with a pair of earpieces that don't fall out and that don't hurt, and they actually will protect your ears from loud noises, something that you probably don't have if you have open ear things and you get on BART or something like that.
Scott, this kind of solution does exist. You can find companies that will scan your ear and create a custom mold. But it's interesting. It sounds like the special sauce that you've come up with is a very low-cost 3D scanner and a cloud service, the ability to leverage an inexpensive device on-premise and the power of the cloud to make sure that you get it printed in as high quality and as quick a time as possible. Now, tell me, what's the business model for this? Who do you see using these machines?
So we actually see these will be used by retailers. It may well actually be paid for by the manufacturers. Now, the manufacturer now will be a CAD manufacturer. But we see it being used at a store. Our business model is simple. They'll rent for $100 a month, $2 a scan. So they're really affordable by, you know, every drugstore, every electronics store, every place that sells earpieces right now should be able to afford one of these things. So you should be able to get them everywhere. As opposed to, as you said, these have been around for a long time, but you have to go to an audiologist. And then they would go out and ship them to a central manufacturing location, which had very expensive scanners that could go $1,000 a week, but they were too expensive for you to have at a retail location. With this model, we decentralize the whole thing. That enables even a small regional manufacturer to suddenly offer their products worldwide.
So in essence, this is actually an old story. You're taking a process that used to take a long time, was very cumbersome, very expensive, and you're shortening it. You're making it almost immediately deliverable. You're dropping the price way, way down, and you're making it accessible to pretty much anyone who's near one of the Sugar Cube.
That's correct. And, of course, that's also a green technology because you're not shipping all this stuff, right? We're shipping it in bits just the way, you know, email killed the overnight letter. We want to do the same thing. We want to go out and turn these and blow businesses to bits and send these bits across the internet and back and manufacture at the point of sale. So this changes all kinds of things for the retailer. Instead of having lots and lots of different kinds of earpieces and stuff in stock, they manufacture on demand. So they don't have stale inventory. It changes the whole, all the shipping and all the logistics and stuff. So we see this as really revitalizing local retail again.
Scott, thank you very much for sharing your vision for the future of audio accessories. Thank you for telling us about the Sugar Cube and about SoundFit. Now, if they wanted to find out more about your company, about this product, where can they go?
They can come to our website at soundfit.me, so SoundFit Me, and come to our info page, send us a note, or tweet us at TheSoundFit, and we'll be happy to tell you more. We have a location in San Leandro where we're manufacturing these, and we welcome people to come by if they're curious.
There you have it, folks. With SoundFit and the Sugar Cube, the future of ear accessories is sweet. The lesson of Developer Week has been the development of an app, of a service, of the next killer product is more than just skill. It's more than just programming. It's a combination of everything from testing to infrastructure to that development skill that we so value. I think what we learn from a show like this is all the people that it takes to put something together that will change the world. Now, in the future, we can look at these companies assembled around on these tables, and we will find the next Microsoft, the next Oracle, the next Uber. And it all started here in a small conference center in San Francisco. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballas here from Twit TV, reporting from Developer Week San Francisco 2016.